It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy. Today's in is called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. God bless each one of you. It's a date, right? Today is the 22nd of May. May the Lord bless and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. My wife, Undreamed Up, will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together for worship. We ask that your spirit would teach us the things we need to know. By anointing the words of our pastor and filling him with your spirit, help us always to grow in grace and wisdom. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time for the Coming of Christ, our King.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
the New Covenant and Unclean Meats. Now, brothers and sisters, as we read through the book of Acts and study it, one theme is not the only theme of a chapter. So we just pick one of the topics of the chapter and go with that theme, but there's more. There's actually 48 verses. So if time does not allow for our 8-minute intermission with the torso song, because we want to hear from Sister Lenny, we will just not do the intermission song and go right into wellness. So that will be our announcement for this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. We ask for the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh upon us, and we pray that you will bless us as we worship you and as we study Acts 10 in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now let's pause. Cornelius was not a Jew. The Jewish nation, which God had rejected because they rejected him and they murdered the Savior, the Jewish nation would teach that these Gentiles were unclean. Okay, and they wouldn't go and socialize. They wouldn't give the gospel to them. They wouldn't go reach out to them. Okay, that's important that you understand that. But yet, you see, God, through Christ, is giving the gospel to everybody. The reason why the Jewish nation was set aside is they were the ones who were supposed to give the gospel to all nations. But they took that privilege that God had given them, and they turned it into a bigotry lifestyle where they thought they and only they had the privileges of the gospel, okay? That's why you read Jesus talking about the Samaritan and the Samaritan woman and going to the Samaritan woman and all of these things. And remember the Good Samaritan? Jesus drew a contrast between all the Jews that would pass by the man who had been beaten and was laying there to die. But it was a Samaritan. And that was in reference to who is my neighbor. Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? And then he showed the Samaritan would be the neighbor. That was blowing their minds because they wouldn't consider the Samaritans a neighbor. They were a despised people, you see. So the gospel was to always go to everybody. The Jews just had the privilege of giving it. They lost. So let me tell you a mistake that many people are making in Christianity. They believe that God still favors Jews. No, God favors anybody who will follow him. God uses the Jewish nation as a symbol. So when you talk about the 144,000 at the end of time, that's not Jewish people by nationality. That is people. Paul said, we are Israel. Okay, and Paul was just saying that all are Israel, and he talked about it. We might get to it. No, we won't get to it. I'm thinking of another book. It's Romans 11, where you have a tree, and Paul said the broken branches were the Jews who rejected Christ, and then those grafted in again. You see, you can break a branch, and you can take another branch and tie it together with that branch, and it'll lay holding graft in, you know, and people have actually shown that you can make different apples from a certain apple tree because they graft in a branch from another tree, you see. But the point being made is that the truth is what makes us God's people. It is not your nationality. It is not whether you're Jew or whatever, Gentile. Everybody was to receive the gospel through Christ, and people got that wrong, okay? He saw in vision, this is Cornelius, verse 3, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. So God uses his people. Now, let me get this right. At this time, the people were not in an corporate organization. They weren't in any organizational structure that the government recognized, okay? They were just God's people who followed God. Their organization was the fact that they humbled themselves and they submitted themselves one to another. They met as elders. They talked about things. They were accountable one to another. but they were not a corporate structure. See, a lot of people don't want to accept that. They didn't even have a name. They weren't called Christians until Antioch. They didn't even have a name, brothers and sisters. They were just those who followed that way. Paul said, I'm going to persecute people who follow that way. Saul, who became Paul. We talked about his conversion yesterday. All right, so I just wanted to share that with you. Let's read on. So he's told to send men to ask for Simon, okay? He lodges, he tells them exactly where it is. You see, let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. You talk about big brother, we have a true big brother called Jesus Christ, and he can give you turn-by-turn directions. He could tell you where to go, where not to go, what to say, what not to say. If we just commune with him, he will guide us into all truth and show us where to go. We don't have to have, I'm not saying it's wrong to have cameras and know where everybody is on your property or what's going on. I'm not saying that's wrong. All I'm saying is that even if somebody plotted against you, when you have God on your side, God will say, don't go over there, because he knows there's somebody over there. And that person might end up seeing an angel and run away. So anyway, God is good. Let's keep reading. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's beautiful. You see, God's true people, all of us, especially the leaders, we take time to pray. Take time to pray. You see, you need to step away from the world. Go take time to pray. Pray in your closet. Pray, you know, meaning pray where there's no one around. But we pray without ceasing. That means you're always in an attitude of prayer. When you're talking to people, be sending up a prayer. If you're giving a Bible study, say, Lord, help me to know how to reach this person. Help me to know what to say. If we would just ask God to help us daily throughout the day on our walk, he will, friends. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, it says, trust in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Give him all and lean not into thine own understanding. Don't worry about your own understanding. Don't give confidence in what you think is right. Trust in God. What does God say about this? Then it says, in all thy ways, all your decisions, everything you have to do, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So instead of saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do today. Say, Lord, what would you have me to do today? You follow that? You see the difference, friends? Nothing wrong with making some tentative plans, but keep them tentative because God can change your plans and he may want to use you in a way that you have no idea. Remember, I told you my testimony yesterday. I got rebooked on two flights on my way home. And as a result of that, I gave two and a half plus hour Bible studies, one at the airport and one on the plane going home. God knew who I was supposed to sit next. He left those seats open. I didn't know what I was going to do. I was just doing what I'm supposed to do, but praying and seeking God and accepting that I'm going to get home at 1 o'clock in the morning on the Sabbath day, which I didn't prefer to do. But you see, it's good to do good on the Sabbath day. God allowed that. So you can go to my testimony on yesterday, on the timeline yesterday, or go to torwm.org, and you'll see it posted there. All right. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became hungry, very hungry, it says, and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So basically, that means he had a vision, okay? And saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. So if you saw this sheet kind of, you know, being held up at four corners, and from heaven, it's just descending down to the earth, this sheet, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Now, brothers and sisters, this is the chapter that people use to say that when you are in the new covenant, which we are in, okay? And by the way, what people don't realize is that you could be on the new covenant before Jesus died, okay? Abraham had the new covenant, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He didn't do righteousness by works. The old covenant is righteousness by works, and that's why the people started that covenant. God gave the covenant, his covenant, to the children of Israel, which was a new covenant. You see, you've never heard that before. I know you haven't, because you've been taught a wrong thing. But if you go back to the early part of Exodus, it says he remembered the covenant that he gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That means that's the covenant he's going to give to the children of Israel at Sinai, okay? But when he gave the Ten Commandments and things of that nature, other commandments, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Well, they were making a covenant with God that he didn't ask them to make. So Moses understood what that was. That was a covenant. So he spilled blood, the blood of an animal, and that is what ratified that covenant. Well, guess what? Jesus hadn't died yet. So the new covenant is called new, not because it came after the old. It was just ratified after, because Abraham looked forward for Jesus to come. He's dead, of course, but the bottom line is he lived in faith to the second coming of Christ, my brothers and sisters. Okay, so that's important for you to understand. All right, so he sees this thing come down, and he hears God's voice saying, rise, slay and eat. He said, Lord, this is crazy. I don't eat unclean meat. Now, I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you can read about what's clean and unclean in Deuteronomy. Some people think everything Moses wrote was nailed to the cross. The Bible doesn't say that. It said the law of commandments contained in ordinances. It's just the ordinances, not the health message, the ordinances. And unclean meat is unhealthy. That's why God allowed 14 cows. So you've been taught wrong. 14 cows, 14 deer, 14, no, my wife corrects me, 14 bovine, because a cow is only female, 14 bovine, 14 deer, 14 sheep, 14 goats. It's Genesis 7:2. You've been taught that all the animals went in 2x2. No, Genesis 7:2 says, and the clean animals went in 7x7, the male and his female. That means there was 14 of them, but only by two, the unclean. That means there was only two pigs, two possums, two lizards, and two llamas. That's Genesis 7:2. That tells you how the animals went into the ark. The reason why a lot of people don't want you to know that and they don't want to read that is because that's long before Moses wrote his laws. And so that means from the beginning, God had already separated clean from unclean. So if clean from unclean was already established long before any law was given by God, that means that the law didn't start it, and the law can't end it. It's part of the health message of the Bible not to eat pork, brothers and sisters. All right. We're just trying to keep you alive. That's all we're trying to do. All right. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. So it sounds like God has now cleansed the pork, and so you can eat it. That's what it sounds like. But this was done thrice. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, some people will just preach their heads off saying, you see these people trying to keep you in bondage, you eat that pork and you enjoy that pork because it's clean now. But watch this. Peter had spent time with Jesus. And let's see what his response was. It says, and now while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean. He's the man of God. He's one of the prophets. He's the one who spent time with Jesus. He's the mainly what we would call the chief apostle. And Peter said, the Bible says of Peter, he doubted what it meant. He didn't know what it meant. So why are preachers preaching today that you can eat pork and it's all right to eat pork? Now, I'm going to tell you something a little bit more than that, brothers and sisters. If you really want to be healthy, don't eat any meat, even the clean meats. Why? I'll take you to the great manufacturer's word who manufactured the human body. You see, a car manufacturer will tell you what kind of fuel it is, that you should put in that car. But the Bible says in Genesis 1:29, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, every fruit tree bearing fruit to you, it shall be for meat. That means food. Your food was supposed to be fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. After sin, God added medicinal herbs because we would need herbs because the body would now break down. And it says, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. That's Genesis 3:18. So if you want the original diet that would be for us, it would be Genesis 1:29 and Genesis 3:18. Write that down. The fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables are in Genesis 1:29, medicinal herbs, because that came after sin. Now the body would break down. You know, some people think you have to have chemicals in order to be well. I'm not saying there's not a place. You got trauma, you might have to get a shot of morphine or something just so you're in excruciating pain. But chronic diseases, brothers and sisters, hypertension, diabetes, cancer, these chronic diseases, my friends, you don't need to have chemicals. God has given us herbs in nature. And we're not even talking about the health message right now. That comes later. Sister Lenny's going to bless us with the health message today. But I'm just telling you, the Bible is full of health. It's full of truth, and we need to be following it, friends, and we will be happier. Let me tell you something. You want to talk about bondage? Disease is bondage, my friend. They say you're in bondage if you don't eat pork. No, you're in bondage when you have the diseases that come from eating pork. These men will tell you it's all right to eat pork, and then when you're in a box called a casket, they tell your family it was his time, it was her time. Well, guess what? The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:17, why should you die before your time? You can die before your time. Eat the wrong foods and see what happens, friends. Keep taking a lot of these toxic substances, things that are causing loss of life, things that even people are putting in their arms. You know what I'm talking about. These are causing a lot of the catastrophes and deaths, sicknesses that people have today, my friend. All right. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what the vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. So these delegations from this Roman, a centurion is a Roman officer of over 100 men, and he sends his soldier and two of his trusted servants into looking for Peter, because Peter's supposed to tell Cornelius what to do, because Cornelius is praying for guidance. He's not even a Jew. You got Christians who are out there teaching and just living it up and living worldly lives, but just coming to church acting holy on Sunday or on Saturday and Sabbath, and yet their lives are corrupt. Oh, my friends, if that's you, you need to humble yourself and pray and ask God to forgive you, because he wants you to be saved. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Now watch this. I want to catch the words. This is the first time I've seen this. You see, the Spirit of God, the Bible is a treasure. Remember, while Peter doubted what the vision should mean, remember verse 17? While Peter doubted what the vision should mean, the Bible uses the same verse or the same words. Go with them, doubting nothing. Now Peter had just had this vision of unclean meat. Then all of a sudden, these heathen men that he would call heathens knock on his door. And God said he had already doubted what the vision meant. God said, go with them, doubting nothing. Brothers and sisters, people have not told you the truth. Acts 10 has nothing to do with pigs, possums, lizards, and llamas. It has nothing to do with unclean meats. It has everything to do with something else, and we're going to see that. You see, when you get a vision or a dream, sometimes it's literal, but sometimes it's figurative. If you go to Daniel chapter 2, there was a statue of a head of gold, breast and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. By the way, the feet of iron and clay represent Roman Catholicism. You might not have been taught that, but it was the clay. Jeremiah 18 said that's the church. That's why we sing that song, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. And then you had the mixed with the iron. That's Roman Catholicism. So a lot of people have not been taught this, who have been taught about the statue, that it's Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and they say it's a divided kingdom. Yes, it's divided, but that is Roman Catholicism, brothers and sisters. And that's the end of time, and you got the 10 toes representing the Protestant movement and all of us at the end of time. So we're at the very end. We're in the toenails of time. That's why we know we're in the last days. That's one reason we know we're in the last days, because it was at that time that the God of heaven would set up his kingdom, the Bible says. And you saw a rock cut out of a mountain. If you want to know what I'm talking about, read Daniel 2, okay? But the Bible is just this weave of truth that's weaved together. The reason why we don't understand it is because people study it with private interpretation. read 2 Peter 1:20 and 1:21. It says no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So you can't interpret it the Adventist way. You can't interpret it the Baptist way. You can't interpret it the Presbyterian way. You can't interpret it the Catholic way. Just let the Bible interpret the God's way. And then if that lands you in a particular church because that church teaches all the truth, so be it. But you don't have a private interpretation. That's why I didn't go to school to be a minister and finish in those courses, because they wanted us to only do what they wanted us to do. They wanted us to study and learn and be able to protect a particular way of thinking. You don't have to do that. Just teach the men of God how to study the and men and women of God how to reach truth and study for themselves. If they do that, they'll be all right, because the truth is clear, my friends. It's not hard to understand. All right, let's read on. And so he was told to go, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him, from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he that ye seek. What is the cause whereof ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among the nation of the Jews, was warned by God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Now, there's a lot that we just need to unpack. First of all, if you don't have to be by yourself giving the gospel, try not to be. Jesus sent his disciples two by two. So Peter understood that. So when he was going with these men, he took some other brethren with him so they could witness, so they could pray, they could witness what was going on, they could pray, they could be supportive one of another, okay? And so when he went to Cornelius, look at what Cornelius did. Cornelius was not a Jew. He didn't understand. He had just gotten a word from an angel. And so when Peter came down, it says he fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Now, the Roman Catholic Church, which took over Christianity, they teach that that Peter was the first pope. And they get that from Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, Jesus said to Peter, whom do men say that I am? Okay, read it for yourself. It's in Matthew 16. He said, whom do men say that I am? And, some say a prophet, some say whatever. And then he said, whom do ye say that I am? He said, thou art Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. And he said, from this day forward, I'm paraphrasing, he said, your name's going to be Peter. Upon this rock, I will build my church. So now, the word rock in the original Greek means the big boulder rock, the one that could be used like a cornerstone rock. Peter's name meant pebble. It did not mean large rock. It meant a piece of the rock, a little piece of the rock. That's what Peter means, a pebble, okay? So God didn't build his church on a pebble. Even Peter, in his writing, said that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. The theme of what Jesus was saying is, whom do men say that I am? And Peter answered correctly, thou art Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's upon that rock I will build my church. But the Roman Catholic Church says that verse was referring to the pebble called Peter. Well, guess what? People bow down to the Pope today, but guess what? When they bow down to Peter, who they say was the first Pope, Peter, let's see what happened. But Peter took him up, verse 26, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. He did not allow them to worship him. Brothers and sisters, we got preachers that allow people to worship them. Now, they don't come down and say, okay, we're going to, you're going to bow down to me. Some of them do maybe, but most of them, if you just cross them, if you don't do what they say, they believe they hear from God and that nobody else hears from God and that what they hear from God, you're supposed to accept. That's not what the Bible teachers did, brothers and sisters. Read Acts chapter 17, verse 11. God commended the noble Bereans, and this is what it says, and these were more noble, this is Acts 17, 11, and these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that while they received the word with all readiness of mind, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So I want you to go home and check me out. I'm a pastor. I'm telling you, don't accept what I say. Verify it in the Bible. That's how preachers are supposed to preach today. They aren't supposed to say, you do what I say because I speak for God. And you can't question them. You can't question them. You can't question them. You can't disagree with them. Brothers and sisters, I don't mind if you disagree with me. You see, we don't have a humble ministry today. That's what's wrong with the church today. You don't have ministers that would say, you know what? I've been teaching something that was not right. God corrected it, and I want to apologize, and this is what the truth is. You've got some preachers that will preach truth, and I'm talking about present truth, but they have an arrogance about them, and they will never say, I'm sorry. And I've seen them do some wrong, and I've seen them teach some things that they ought not to teach, and I've even corrected them and sent them notes and messages. You think they got back with me or got back up and corrected it? No. And I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Who you think is going to finish the work is not going to finish the work. It's going to be humble vessels that finish the work. Now, what God will do, though, if you don't humble yourself, God's going to humble you. And a lot of times you can have a powerful ministry, a powerful thing going on, and then it can fall, brothers and sisters. God can come against it because he's trying to humble you because you won't humble yourself. You know, the Bible doesn't say we should ask God to humble us. You don't want God to humble you. The Bible says humble yourself. Okay? If God humbles you, you might be like Nebuchadnezzar, who went crazy for 7 years. And he had to be like an animal, lost his mind because he said, is this great Babylon I have built? You see, God was trying to warn him that, no, you didn't build this Babylon. I gave this to you. God sets up kings and puts them down. That's why we don't get mad if President Trump wins. Don't get mad if President Biden wins. Don't get mad if both of them kill over and somebody else wins. The bottom line is the Bible says in Daniel 2, God sets them up and he puts them down. So whoever's the prime minister of your country, whoever is the president of your country, whoever's the dictator of your country, God allowed them to be set up in that position. Not that God necessarily endorses what they do, but God sets up kings. He does everything for his glory. You see, things have to happen for us to go home. The Sunday law has to be enacted in order for us to go home, brothers and sisters. There will be persecution for God's people. That's why we need to know God, because it's going to happen. What side are you going to be on? You're not going to avoid the test. Everybody's going to have the test if you're alive. So you might as well test correctly and have Jesus be your source of strength and defense. All right. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know, this is Peter talking, watch this, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Go back to verse 17. When he saw the sheep, he doubted. God sent some strange men to him. He said, go with them, doubting nothing. And now when he's with these strange men, he said, listen, he's basically saying that sheep let down was a symbol to me, a symbolic vision to let me know I should not call any man common or unclean. He did not say it would refer to pigs. He did not say it referred to, I just came from Louisiana, possums, where they eat everything down there. And I'm not saying all the people, but they do eat some stuff in Louisiana, and they will tell you they eat some stuff. So that's not a dig against Louisiana. Down in the bayou, they eat alligator. They eat all kind of stuff. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that the unclean meats that are more toxic in their flesh, we are not to ever eat. That was a sin, okay? And people are saying, well, we're in the new covenant. All that stuff's been cleansed. Why would God give you something that makes you sick, even sicker, I mean very sick, and die? Why would God do that? A lot of the cancers and cardiovascular diseases and diabetes and stuff come from pork eating, brothers and sisters. Now, we don't even need to eat the beef, chicken, or fish but that are clean. But the bottom line is you eat pork, that's quadruply bad for you. And God never endorsed the eating of that. That's why only two pigs went on the ark, but there were 14 bovine. That's the cows and the bulls, okay, the male and his female. And I like that, the male and his female. So the way they do it now, if the world is all messed up, that cow had her husband. That bull had his wife, the male and his female. They were 14. Now they get one or two bulls and they impregnate a whole bunch of cows. Nature is messed up, and slavery, that's what they did. They treated people as cattle, brothers and sisters. And they would have, you know, some very real strong, stocky men, and they would send them in to impregnate all the women so that they could have more slave labor. That's what was happening back then. But anyway, God cursed the South because of slavery. That's why the South was the booming economic center of America. But God took away that booming economic center. Not to say that money's not being made down there, but it's primarily in the industrialized northern areas where most of that is now today. All right, my friends, let's keep reading. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, and as soon as I was sent for, I asked wherefore of what intent ye have sent me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. This is a wonderful thing, because sometimes an angel, because it already said it was an angel, and now it says it was a man. So keep that in mind. Sometimes the Bible calls angels men and men angels. If they're truly angels, sometimes they're referred to as men. There's a verse that talks about the man Gabriel, but the Bible also calls him the angel Gabriel. So just keep that in mind, because that will help you understand certain prophecies that are in other places of the Bible. So he said he saw a man, but the Bible already said it was an angel. All right. And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in thy sight. That's what Gabriel told him. Then, or the angel told him, then therefore, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Verse 33, immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we here present before God, and hear all things that are commanded of thee. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. That's what God was teaching him by the unclean means. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. Verse 37, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. See, he's not even talking to Jews. If he was talking to Jews, he said, you slew him. But he's talking to the Gentiles and says, they slew him. They killed Jesus. He's telling the Gentiles the gospel. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge, to be judge of quick and dead, that means of living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. See, Peter's giving the gospel to the Gentiles. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured the gift of the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So, my brothers and sisters, this is powerful. Now, a lot of new truths are weaved in. I want you to go back to Acts chapter 2. When you go to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell, they heard the gospel in their own tongue. So this whole movement in the Pentecostal holiness movement, all of this speaking in tongues where it's irrecognizable gibberish, please, I'm not trying to be offending anybody, but that's not in the Bible. The speaking in tongues was the giving of the gospel in languages of other people that you didn't natively grow up in, okay? And so the gospel needed to be spread, so that was a gift God gave, so that as they would go, they now have the gift to speak in other languages. That's what it was. I did a whole sermon on 1 Corinthians 14, which is very clear in Acts chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians 14, people believe that's a different manifestation of the tongues. And I showed you that it's not. Matter of fact, in verse 14, people misunderstand that. Paul in verse 14, let me just go there real quick. Let me see what kind of time we're dealing with here. Yes, we got time. Let's go real quickly to 1 Corinthians. I just want to share this with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm looking at verse 14. Notice what Paul says, and people miss a most important, it's a short two-letter word. Paul said, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." See, it's verses like this that confuse people. Paul, the most important word in this verse is if. He said, if I pray this way. That means if you read the whole study, the chapter is saying it's important to hear truth clearly. So he's telling people we need to be prophesying. That means teaching the truth in clear tones. The gift of tongues is not as important. He said it'd be nice if everybody spoke in tongues, but I want everybody to prophesy. That means be able to teach truth clearly, okay, in clear tones, in the language of the people. So he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, look at what it says. The next verse. What is it then? I'll use the modern vernacular on the street. What's that? That's what Paul is saying. He's like, if I was to pray and I didn't even know what I was saying, speaking in an unknown tongue, because if you're praying to God, so I wouldn't even understand what I was saying. He's just giving an analogy, a symbol to say, this wouldn't even make sense. That's why he says in verse 15, what is it then? What's that? He said, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. Paul didn't pray that way. The word if is what people meant. He said, if I was to do this, that wouldn't even make sense. Therefore, I don't do that. I pray in my language, in my understanding. You see? There you go, friends. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? See, they understood there were actual things being said. It wasn't this meaningless gibberish where people just kind of fall out and wave their hands and say, where they had to learn how to give it, had to learn how to speak it. You know, they come down and they got a tarrying thing that you come down and you learn how to, you know, whatever. And you can, it's a trance. That's why most of the time, they have to have all that music playing because they need to put you in a trance-like state. Loud music with the drum beats and all that, it puts you in a trance-like state, friends, and that a spirit can come over you. You might be offended, but that's not the Spirit of the Lord. But watch this. Because you didn't know, God didn't let the devil take over your life. And so now that you know, you need to stop praying in that way because God's not in that. It's not in the Bible, friends. That's why we have to seek the Word of God for everything. Acts chapter 2 will tell you tongue speaking was languages. When you go verse by verse with 1 Corinthians 14, it does not say anything other than that it's languages. As a matter of fact, as you keep reading, it says in 1 Corinthians 14 that this is a fulfillment of Isaiah 28. And in Isaiah 28, they were giving Bible truth, okay? I don't remember the verse. But let me see if I can find it real quickly. I don't see it right off the top. But anyway, he said what that was, what it was a fulfillment of. And I'm not able to find it right now as I'm just scrolling through quickly. But it's very clear, friends. He's talking about give the trumpet a distinct sound and all of that. And it's very clear. So the speaking in tongues is languages, Japanese, English, Russian, all of that. That's what that is, and that's all that is. This spirit that comes over people and has them falling out, has women exposing themselves. That means other women have to come with sheets covering them up. Think about that. With the Holy Spirit, have you show your private body parts? If that was the spirit that fell over you, would he have you fall over and have your legs up in the air and dangling and showing your body parts so other women have to come and throw a sheet over you? Is that the Holy Spirit? Would the Holy Spirit do that? Okay? So we just don't think sometimes. We just accept things we've been taught, and I'm here to just say that God wants the truth to come to God's people. Because of the time, we're not going to have the intermission song. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to open Sister Lenny's mic, and I'm going to go ahead and do that right now, as a matter of fact, and we're going to have a health message. She's going to be sharing something with us. We'll do that right after prayer, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth that we've learned in this chapter. We pray that you will bless us as we continue studying the book of Acts and learn lessons that we will be able to take with us so that we are not deceived. We pray that the people who have listened, that they will go home and go to the Holy Spirit and read for themselves, reread this chapter and listen to this message and see, go to these verses in Acts chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians 14 and Matthew 16, other verses that we have mentioned, and they will see whether or not you have weaved together this beautiful truth, or you will not be the author of confusion. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we are going to hear Sister Lenny at this time, and she's going to speak to us on the topic, an assurance of divine guidance, as a health message. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday. An assurance of divine guidance. The Lord will teach many in all parts of the world to combine fruits, grains, and vegetables into foods that will sustain life and will not bring disease. Those who have never seen the recipes for making the health foods now on the market will work intelligently, experimenting with the food productions of the earth, and will be given light regarding the use of these productions. The Lord will show them what to do. He who gives skill and understanding to his people in one part of the world will give skill and understanding to his people in other parts of the world. It is his design that the food treasures of each country shall be so prepared that they can be used in the countries for which they are suited. As God gave manna from heaven to sustain the children of Israel, so he will now give his people in different places skill and wisdom to use the productions of these countries in preparing foods to take the place of meat. It is the Lord's design that in every place men and women shall be encouraged to develop their talents by preparing healthful foods from the natural products of their own section of the country. If they look to God, exercising their skill and ingenuity under the guidance of His Spirit, they will learn how to prepare natural products into healthful foods. Thus, they will be able to teach the poor how to provide themselves with foods that will take the place of flesh meats. Those thus helped can in turn instruct others. Such a work will yet be done with consecrated zeal and energy. If it had been done before, there would today be many more people in the truth and many more who could give instruction. Let us learn what our duty is and then do it. We are not to be dependent and helpless, waiting for others to do the work that God has committed to us. This morning's reading is coming from Counsels on Diet and Foods, page 96 to 97. May you be blessed today with the assurance that God will guide you to better health if you allow Him to. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, and God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, friends, phone lines are open. We would like to also say happy birthday to our dear sister Salita, if she's still listening. I'm going to do roll call. We have several people. I don't know where everybody's from, but we have, if I know where you're from, I'll just state your date, and that's going to be Virginia. We've got a Natasha. I'm not sure where Natasha's from. We've got Alabama, Clifford in Alabama. We've got Peyton in North Carolina. We've got, I believe, my dear sister, Rachel from Florida. Praise God. And Sister Vicky from, that's going to be Georgia. We've got our dear Sister Lorian from Indiana. And we have Sister Effie. I'm not sure where that's from. It seems like it's an African name. We've got a Sister Lysandra. So I don't know where you all are from. on our call, we have represented Ohio, we have Alabama, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We also have Ohio, and we have Georgia on the line. Welcome to everybody. The phone lines are open. If you have a question, just press *6. If you have a comment on Facebook, just type it, and it should come before me, and I'll read it, and we'll try to answer that. And we've got our dear sister Dinah on the line. We'll take her call this time. Good morning, Sister Dinah.
Good morning. Good morning to you and everyone on the line. I wondered, what was the name of the message today? I was late getting on, and I didn't catch the beginning of it, and I definitely wanted to go back and listen to it. So tell me what was the name of it, and then I also wanted to thank Sister Lindy for those words of wisdom. That, you know, that makes perfect sense. We should just take what we have and make our own meat and stuff instead of buying, you know, Morningstar and all of those kind of meat. I'm sure it would be much healthier. And I'm going to be celebrating a birthday day after tomorrow on the 24th. And God is just good. So I just want to give him all the praise, honor, and glory for all he does for us, you know. And not just for what he does for us, but because of who and what he is in our lives. Thank you, and God bless everyone on the line. Have a good day. Bye.
Bye-bye. We were studying Acts 10. However, we titled it The New Covenant and Unclean Meat. So that's our title. And then Sister Lenny's title was An Assurance of Divine Guidance. Well, those are your titles there. All right, we're going to Sister Desiree. And so we understand you have a birthday in a couple of days, Sister. We're going to be praying, Lord willing, that it be a wonderful day for you as it is forthcoming. All right, Sister Desiree, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to say good morning to yourself and your wife, Sister Maria, and happy birthday to the young lady whose birthday is today. And the other upcoming, wishing y'all strength and health and happiness. I'm excited today. I want to say that, you know, you get revelation. And I want to say this as the Holy Spirit gives me strength to say, please. I was shared this ministry with me when I was in a downtrodden time season in my life. And as I listened to the broadcast, getting strengthened, but there were times in listening for me where, you know, I was just convicted and pricked or poked, and it was strong. This is strong meat. This is not baby food. This is strong meat. It's not parade food. This is strong meat. So times and time I would have to step away because I wasn't able to digest it as well, or I was offended in my spirit. But let me tell you, I came back for more and more, amen. And I just want to encourage others that may not be on this call where it might offend, or I just know that it's strong meat, and just come back, be encouraged to get strengthened where we can study to show thyself approved, because God wants us, he says, study to show thyself approved. And this is a good ministry, but it's no substitution. And I'm speaking to myself, not to you guys, but I'm sharing because the Holy Spirit wanted me to share this. That he says, study to show thyself approved. This is no substitution for us not to study on our own as these last days are nearing. So this is something to strengthen us.
Amen.
It's something to strengthen us so that in our own private times and in our own struggles and as these last days, however they come about, that we'll be able to withstand the storms and the trials and the tribulations to come. And that God will place us in open places and hide us. And I want to say that because my heart was burdened when I heard Pastor's testimony yesterday about one of the ones that was listening. And I just want to say to her, when she hears this, hold fast. Someone said that to me who is now deceased, that when they saw in my spirit get dialed trying, and I was trying to share with them, the begging them to get down so that they get the food, and he saw my spirit go downcast, he said, hold fast. So I say to you and to us, hold fast. Keep coming. And if you have to take a break a moment from the broadcast, that's okay. But as the spirit leads you to come back for more, and as you can digest it, you will, is to strengthen us for these last days. And that's all I wanted to say in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sis. We're keeping you in prayer. Amen. Thank you for coming back for more. Amen. And, you know, that's what we all do, sis. The Lord, and I'll say this in comment of what you're saying. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, I think it is. It's either 4:7 or 4:17. But it says, the path of the just is as a shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Okay? It's 4:18. So what that means is your path, because you're just, you're seeking righteousness. The path of the just is as a shining light. You don't go from midnight and then, boom, it's bright as the noonday sun. No, it's real subtle. Even those who've been watching Facebook, because I've got the light, you know, the sunlight in the background, they've seen changes in the light of the morning as the sun's been rising in the east. You know, so those who could see, it looks different on the screen than it did when we started at 6. So just understand God takes you and gives you a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And sometimes it may seem like it's more than you can bear. But if God allows you to see it, just, hey, just even if you got to set that one aside, the Lord, I have to come back to that one a little bit. But just keep praying about it and seeking God and saying, Lord, is that the truth? You know, we have these things called habits, and they need to be broken. But if they're destructive habits, but it's not easy to break them. And sometimes, you know, God has to convict us. Sometimes it's what we wear. Sometimes it's what we eat. Sometimes it's where we've been going. Sometimes it's who we're hanging out with. Sometimes it's just what we believe, you know. And God is trying to bring us into heaven. You see, let me share this with you as we wrap this up. And thank you so much, Sister Desiree. God bless you. God bless you. Let me just wrap this up. What most people don't understand and what most churches do not teach, and I'm going to read it to you from the book of Revelation. This time period that we are in right now is called a time of probation, okay? God has to guarantee, he said in the Bible, iniquity would not rise again the second time. Well, God's not a God of force. If God was a God of force, he could have kept Lucifer from sinning. He could have made Lucifer a robot and not allow sin. But God wants the service of love. Just like those of you who are parents, you know, you raised your children and you're interested in what they say as little children, and it amuses you, or sometimes it might a little disturb you. You have to correct some things that they're getting from school or from the TV or whatever. But the point being made is that God wants the service of love, just like we want love from our children. But our children are not robots. They can disobey if they choose to. They can go against you if they choose to. But when you see them loving you back because you gave love to them and they love you back, that's what develops that relationship. God is no different. And so he has to get, as he's given us this wonderful gospel, which promises pardon of the past, power for the present, and his physical presence in the future. So pardon, power, and presence. That's what the gospel offers. When you reject the pardon and say, I'm not going to ask him to forgive me of my sin, you can't be saved. When you reject the power that he gives you to live a holy life, you're not going to be saved because you've rejected the gospel. The gospel promises power. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, the Bible says. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So the ways of the world, the things of the world, the sensuality of the world. You know, the world is very sexual and sensual just fit whatever feels good, whatever tastes good, enjoy life, you know. And but that's not, so what I'm trying to say is God has given us the truth to prepare us for heaven. God will judge us before Jesus comes to see if we've accepted the gospel. Those who have accepted the power and the pardon, or the pardon and the power, they will have his presence. Those who said, I'm going to eat the way I want to eat, I'm going to dress the way I want to dress, I'm going to worship the way I want to worship, not in harmony with God, he can't take us into heaven, because in heaven, he's not going to make you a robot. You would just start seeing all over again. And so he's promised that it's not going to rise the second time. That's why those of us in this probationary period are given this wonderful gospel, which includes power. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, when you get conviction, Sister Desiree mentioned conviction, if it's the truth, that's the Holy Spirit bringing you conviction. You just need to make sure that you study it and make sure that it is really what the truth is. The Christian life is simply submitting to a thus saith the Lord, even if it's not what you want to do. And then you get power and a new heart is given. It's called conversion. That's what we talked about yesterday. You cannot explain conversion, brothers and sisters. It's unexplainable. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof. That's in John chapter 3. You see the results thereof, but you can't tell from whence it came. When you feel that or sense that presence of God, that conviction that you should correct something, or something you're doing isn't right, isn't rightly representing God, that's the Holy Spirit. Just make sure that that conviction is based on truth, because you can have a conviction that something's wrong and it's not wrong. That may not come from God, but just make sure that it comes from God. All right, let me read this to you real quick. Revelation chapter 22. It says, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. So God is saying in the future, there's going to come a point in time where we are locked in to the character that we've developed, or locked into the lack of character that we did not develop. And then it says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Give every man according as his work shall be. When Jesus comes in the clouds, there will be no moral change. He's just changing the body. He's not changing the tenor of your thoughts. You'll have greater intellect in your new body, but if your mind is focusing on sensuality, sexuality, and all this kind of stuff, that's not going to change when Jesus comes. Now, there's nothing wrong with it, that in the marriage relationship with your husband and your wife, but if that's where your mind is focused, you can't make it into the kingdom. You've got to humble yourself and ask God to give you strength. Bring that man, that woman in your life that is your friend, that will help you into the kingdom. That's the kind of relationship you need to have with somebody, brothers and sisters, where two people are best friends and are helping each other into the kingdom of heaven. That's a marriage, and that's what you're looking for. So I just wanted to share that there is coming a point where probation will close and every case will be decided. Then when Jesus comes, you're either going to accept him or you're going to run from him. Okay? That's what the Bible teaches. May God bless you and keep you. I'm going to turn it over to my wife, Undreamed Up, to close us out at this time.
Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for your word. May we continue to study these things out for ourselves, allowing your spirit to teach us, to guide us, and to direct us, giving us wisdom and understanding so we may be able to share this with others. We ask that you would bless every heart on this line in a special way on this day, and we ask that all that we do will continue to be good service unto you, Lord. Help us to be faithful, and help us to stay on the right path of righteousness, and always steer us, Lord, towards you, drawing us closer and closer as we develop a more intimate relationship with you. Help us to be able to hear your still small voice as you direct our lives, as you lead us, as you guide us. And we thank you, Lord, for giving us this time to be able to fellowship one with another. And we ask that you will help us to be healed all spiritually, mentally, and physically, so that we may be good workers in your harvest and be able to hasten your return. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Amen. Our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord. I will worship the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord till I die. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord. I will walk with the Lord till I die. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord till I die. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord till I die. Till I die.
Thank you.